The first thing I want to say tonight is that the purpose of the human mind is to benefit ourselves and others. Has anyone ever heard that as the purpose of the human mind? Now, when we think about something as important as our mind, wouldn't it seem like we would have been told what the purpose of the mind is? The mind is rather instrumental, isn't it, in how we live our lives? But yet we really don't know very much about the mind, because the mind, it has been mapped to a certain degree, but it's only been mapped to a degree. For example, many scientists say that we only use 10% of our brain, that there's a large quantity of our brain or mind, as the case may be, that it's not used at all. So, you know, what's going on there? Well, we really don't know. Uh-huh.
Do you put mind and brain as the same thing?
I'll talk a little bit more about that. Because definitely in the West, the brain and the mind are most of the time considered to be the same thing. But when we know so little about the mind, we don't really have it within us to be able to say very specifically that we know where the mind is located. If we say that 90% of the brain has something going on that we don't know anything about, then we may not even know where the mind is located. So that's yet to be determined. The best we can say is we don't know. And we're kind of in this situation. When Christopher Columbus decided to sail the ocean blue, he was convinced that the earth was not flat. And at that time in history, almost everyone believed the earth was flat. So when maps of the earth were drawn, it showed a flat earth with an edge. And people believed that if you went out to the ocean and you sailed the ocean blue, that you'd just drop off this edge somewhere. So when the cartographers drew the maps, they'd be very detailed. They'd show this, that, or the other thing. And then when they'd get to this edge that they thought was the case, in the margin they would just write, "Beyond this are dragons." So, you know, that's kind of at the stage we're at with the mind. Beyond this are dragons. We don't really know what the capacity of the mind is. I do know what the capacity of the mind is, and I've found that capacity and realized it within my own being. And I've worked with many people around the world who have as well, including some of the people here in this room tonight. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about tonight. When I was growing up, I lived kind of in that vague state of beyond this are dragons. I really had never heard the purpose of the mind. I didn't know the purpose of the mind, that the mind is meant, that in other words, it's intended and purpose to benefit me, my well-being and comfort, my peace of mind, and it's also intended to be of benefit to others. This is the natural purpose of the mind. This is the natural state of the mind. And I had never heard that. I had tried many ways to be at home in my mind. And I had explored that diligently since I was a small child. I'd been very fascinated with the mind and God and love and a lot of these ideas about what the meaning and purpose of life are. But I could never really find that within myself, no matter how much I explored it intellectually or philosophically or psychologically, no matter how many self-help books I read, no matter how many college courses I took or the books I studied of psychiatrists, psychologists, and all the people I met, physicians, and I met many of the most noted people in the world, I could never really get the answer to this burning question I had. And my question really was, well, you know, what is love? I just know that there is something about each of us that is love. It is love, and it is wisdom, and it is energy. I know that for sure. And I not only knew that about myself, but whoever I looked at, I knew it was true about everyone. Even though I couldn't really find the evidence of that in a complete way within myself, and I didn't really feel like that I saw that in many other people either, I was sure that this was the case for everyone. And what I found was something really remarkable. I found that I had lived a lifestyle of really trying to manage my thoughts and emotions, so that a lot of my energy went into deciding which thoughts were good thoughts to have and trying to cultivate a lot of those thoughts, and then deciding which emotions were good emotions to have and cultivating a lot of those emotions that were good. But even though I would diligently try to do that, and I really was successful at it, I never reached a sense of completion. For example, if you come here and you work out, you build your muscles, you get strong. But I never felt that real strength develop in my mind where I could really feel complete and strong, and like my mind was going to be balanced. Like when I was your age, I was thinking things like, well, gee, I thought I'd be an adult by now. Where is it? I want it, and I want it now. I want to be an adult. And I had assumed that I'd grow up, I'd get to be in my 20s, and then I'd be an adult, and I'd know how to handle everything that came up, and that would just be the way it was. And, of course, that wasn't the case for me. It was ever elusive. This well-being that I wanted to have within my mind, it was forever elusive. And then I reached a point where I had achieved a great deal while I was still in my 20s, and I had done all the things I was supposed to do and really excelled, but I still felt totally incomplete. And I thought, well, if I've done everything that I feel I'm supposed to do and I still feel incomplete, what's missing? And I entered into an era of what you could call existential despair, existential anxiety. Does that ring a bell for anyone? You know, what is the meaning of life? Is this all there is? And on and on and on. And then I had a trauma, and in that trauma I had all the positive thoughts I'd cultivated and positive emotions. I couldn't find them anywhere. So the strength I had tried to build in my mind, it just wasn't there to support me at all. And my emotions were going pell-mell, and my thoughts were going pell-mell too. Just helter-skelter. I wasn't able to control them in any way. And I really didn't know what to do. I felt hopeless and powerless. And I really felt that I had all the right information. I knew all the right people, but yet whatever was conventionally available to me didn't work. Religion didn't work. Spirituality didn't work. Philosophy didn't work. Psychology didn't work. Everything I'd learned about my own mind and what I could achieve through intellectual pursuits, that didn't work either. And success in the world didn't work. Marrying the right guy didn't work. Having beautiful children didn't work. Living in the right house didn't work. Having the right job didn't work. So, you know, I thought, I was young, I thought, gee, I have a lot of life ahead of me and this doesn't look good. It really isn't looking too good here. And so I was in this state where I was feeling very uncomfortable. And in the midst of that, with this tsunami, or in Colorado it would probably be better to say avalanche, avalanche of emotions and thoughts, I suddenly realized that all of the emotions and thoughts had the same basis. Now, this is very obvious that the emotions and thoughts have the same basis. The mind is the basis of all thoughts and emotions. There is no other basis for thoughts and emotions. They don't have an independent origin. So thoughts and emotions do not have an independent origin or nature. They're not something in their own right that has any power. But I had spent 3 decades at that point in my life believing that my thoughts and emotions had an independent power, that they had an independent nature, that they somehow could affect me in some way. And I, in an instant, realized that they did not have an independent nature. No matter what these thoughts and emotions were, they had exactly the same basis, so that in that sense, they were all equal. In that basis of all thoughts and emotions is always completely at ease. Now, this is something else that is evident in the experience of every single person in this room already, that within you is this space of complete relaxation and ease that is the basis of every single thought and emotion you have. And that is what is looking when you look in the mirror. So here's a mirror here. We can look in the mirror. And when we look in this mirror, what's looking in the mirror? Go ahead and look in the mirror. Now, what's looking in the mirror? We look in the mirror and we see ourselves as we are today. But how many times have we all looked in a mirror throughout our life? Many times we've looked in a mirror. And almost all of us at some point of looking in that mirror, we look and we go, wow, you know, look at the changes. Look at how old I am right now. And look at how much different I look right now than I did back then, whenever that was. And, you know, more wrinkles, more gray hair. Or, you know, even you are getting old. But then we have the thought, too, but there's something about me that never changes. Almost everyone has that thought at some point looking in the mirror. That there's some, even though I see all these physical changes, there's something about me that has never changed. Whatever the ups and downs of life have been, there's something about me that never changes. It's unalterable. It's completely unchangeable. And this is the true nature of the mind. The true nature of the mind, the truly real natural state of the mind, is a state of complete ease and relaxation. And it's this complete ease and relaxation in which all thoughts and emotions appear. So all thoughts and emotions have as their basis complete relaxation and ease. And when we don't feel relaxed, when we don't feel at ease, it's because a thought and emotion appears and we give it a power it doesn't have. We decide that it does have some kind of power, and so we need to think about it. We need to develop a storyline that goes with that thought or emotion. But if in our own experience, when a thought and emotion appears, you see, we only have 2 choices to make. One is to just let it be as it is and rest. And the natural awareness that is the essence of the mind. Awareness is the operating mechanism of the mind. It's the engine of the mind. Without awareness, we wouldn't even know we're human beings. So it's this awareness that we're really talking about when we talk about the mind. We wouldn't even know about the mind without awareness. So you see, it's pivotal to human experience. Every single experience we have throughout our life of thoughts, emotions, or anything else, it's all rooted in awareness. And awareness is unalterable and unchangeable, always and forever, throughout our whole life. And when a thought or emotion appears and we rest as that awareness and just allow the appearance to do whatever it does, then we get more and more familiar with this relaxed basis of the mind and less focused on all the content Is that understandable? So the instruction is very simple. It's to rest naturally as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. So this isn't about sitting in a chair and trying to rest for an hour or anything like that. It's just the first day to, whenever you remember, to just rest as awareness for a moment. And then the next day you might remember for a few more moments, and then the next day a few moments more. But in this very simple, direct way, it is guaranteed that you'll come to the point where you'll just be naturally at rest all of the time without trying to do so. So this is a very simple, very direct teaching, and it's one that is extraordinarily powerful. And I'll tell you a little bit about why it is extraordinarily powerful. How many people were here at the International Center for High Performance or Performance and Health, the CEDIT? And athletes talk about the zone. How many people here have ever been in the zone? Do you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you feel you've ever been in the zone. You're out running or ice skating, skiing down the mountain, hang gliding, making love, whatever it is, and you're in the zone all of a sudden. Everything, the mind is crystal clear. It's crystal clear. Just like the sun at midday outshines all the planets and stars that are visible at night, the mind is that crystal clear. And the thoughts and emotions are all still there, but they're really outshone by this crystalline clarity of the mind. That's what the zone is. Well, that's what resting as awareness leads to, the zone 24/7. So this is, when I talk about working 72 days in a row, 12 hours a day, that's in the zone, so to speak, all the time. I don't call it that. It's just the natural state of the mind. We don't need to call it by any special name. It just needs to be a name that every human being on earth can understand. This is the natural state of who we're meant to be. We're meant to be completely at ease and relaxed. So no matter where we go around the world, we have teachers all over the world. And by the way, we have, I think, 120 or 150 free downloads of full-length talks on our website, greatfreedom.org. We're a full-service organization. Someone earlier told me I should say they're complimentary rather than free. And I see people all over the world who are resting as awareness. Resting as awareness 24/7 without trying to do so, all from this simple instruction. We have, in addition to the free downloads, we have a website with many other things on it. We provide 24/7 support for people worldwide for resting as awareness. So we have a very sophisticated technology infrastructure and telecommunication structure whereby we provide all kinds of teachings over the internet through teleconferencing systems, and we also provide one-to-one support by the same means and by email. We also have three series of teachings that very directly support people in being able to rest as awareness and not get blindsided by thoughts and emotions that come up. Do you have any of those where certain thoughts and emotions, they just come up and all of a sudden, no, it's dizzying, anything like that? Most of us have things like that. And so we have teachings that are very skilled at supporting each person and being able to identify what those are in a very personal way, so that when they do come up, it's much easier to just rest as awareness without going off into the saga that whatever it is usually presents. So you see, in this way, we find out that the world is round instead of flat. There's no edge beyond which you're dragons. There's just this amazing thing about our minds that we didn't even know. You know, it's just like in the last week, astronomers have found that there's a planet that is just outside this solar system, but it's in another solar system. And the temperature of the planet is room temperature, like the temperature in this room. It sounds comfortable, doesn't it? So they're really wondering about that now. But see, so you see, there's so much we don't know. And it isn't just a way out there in another solar system. It's within our own being. When we really don't know about this tremendous power in our own being, this natural ease that is the essence of every single one of our actions. We have this whole universe existing right here, and we're not familiar with it. And at the same time, the way to get familiar with it is utterly simple. But doesn't it make sense that it would be utterly simple when it's our natural state, that it would be very easy? So just this, do not dismiss it because it sounds so simple. It is extremely powerful. It's in fact the oldest teaching on earth for understanding the true nature of the mind. The oldest teaching on earth. The teaching by which more people have been able to realize permanent peace of mind than any other teaching. So it's just that natural, that intuitive, that it powerfully supports in any situation. No special situation is needed. No, you don't need to go to any special place or hold your body in any special way. You don't need to be smart, and you don't need to be well schooled, and it doesn't matter whether you're big and round or skinny and short. You know? None of this matters. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. It doesn't matter if you have a job or you don't have a job. It doesn't matter if you have a stressful job or a not so stressful job. One of the beauties of it is whoever you are, you are. Have you ever noticed that? Whoever you are, you are. And all these self-help books that we read, no matter who we are, we still are that person. And most of us have certain thoughts and emotions that are just patterns. They're entirely circumstantial. They're really only the dynamic energy of awareness, the dynamic energy of the mind. That's all they are. They're a very sensitive medium. Awareness is a sensitive medium, and that just reflects impressions, like a mirror reflects images. But just like the mirror never changes, no matter what kind of image it reflects, so too awareness never changes. And so all these circumstantial appearances in our minds, they just are whatever they are, but the mind remains unmoved. It remains unaltered. It remains unchangeable, no matter what appears within it. But we never know that about ourselves unless we learn to rest as awareness. And to do so is so simple. It's really simple. It's just, think of something you don't want to think about. Or just feel an emotion you don't want to have. That kind of thing. an emotion you're trying to avoid or thoughts you're trying to avoid about whatever it is. And then, you know, just think about what you do when that usually comes up. You know, what do you do? Do you buy another self-help book? Do you have an antidote that you apply? Something, you know. Some of these are hair trigger antidotes. It might be, oh, there's that thought again. Where's a pint of ice cream? Or let's watch some TV. Or let's go out and run 10 miles. Or, you know, it could be anything. It could be have a drink, smoke a marijuana, or whatever people might do. What are some other things that might be antidotes? Working too much. So the antidotes, when they come up, all the antidotes do is perpetuate the idea that thoughts and emotions have an independent power. That's what the antidotes do. When an antidote is applied, we're saying to ourselves, these thoughts and emotions that live in me have a power that's out to get me. That's what we're saying, basically. But the thoughts and emotions have no independent power. They have no nature outside of awareness. They have no beingness of their own. They've never had their own being in any way. This is a very simple truth and a very simple fact. They don't have an independent identity or a substantiality of their own. They have no stuff of their own that makes them what they are. They only are due to awareness. They're rooted in the mind's awareness. And other than that, they have no independent existence. They vanish naturally in and of themselves. They're entirely free in their own place. Nothing needs to be done about them. Because they have no independent nature, nothing needs to be done about them. So with resting as awareness, all of this becomes very clear. What I'm saying that may have a strong ring of truth for you, in resting as awareness, it just becomes more and more clear that this is so, that all the appearances are the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. Just like the brilliance of a diamond is the dynamic energy of a diamond. Mm-hmm.
So when we do have a thought or an emotion, mm-hmm. and we give it power, which mm-hmm. part of us is doing this? Is that the mind?
Sure. Uh-huh.
So the mind is the origin of that, and then it's also giving it the power, right?
The mind is the solution as well.
But I still don't understand the meaning of resting awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well, when a thought or emotion comes up, and it's a thought or emotion you usually react to in some way, just don't do anything. That's what resting as awareness is.
Don't do as an action, or don't do... thoughts.
Don't perpetuate a thought system about it. So, for example, say you're living here in Colorado and you can't decide whether to go back to California or not, and that might be something you think about a lot. Say the thought comes up about that and you just start to think about it a lot. Instead of doing that, rest as awareness. You see, what we do is when we believe that the thoughts have an independent power, we believe that in order to arrive at decisions, we have to think a lot in order to make a decision. We have to think a lot and have a lot of emotions in order to make a decision. But we don't. The natural clarity of a mind that's blazingly clear at all times doesn't need to be obsessively involved in thinking in order to make decisions. It's just like when you're in the zone, skiing, running, or making love, or whatever it is, you don't have to think at all about what your next action is. It's completely spontaneous and naturally occurring. So in this relaxed essence of the mind, there's total wisdom. Not only total wisdom, but total power. And so this is really an optimal level of being. A completely optimal level of being that's way beyond what you would call high performance in terms of the mental life or the physical life. High performance that's cultivated, in other words, high performance of the mind that's cultivated by just having certain emotions or just having certain thoughts and having the rigor to really make that happen in your mind, that could be called high performance of the mind. High performance of the body, the same thing, pushing the body to an extreme in order to achieve certain feats. That's high performance of the body. And high performance of the body and mind together leads to many of the incredible athletes we see, or leaders of other kinds, people who are really able to at least train their body or their mind or both together to reach a high level of performance. But beyond all of that is optimal. The optimal level of being, the optimal level of the mind, and the optimal level of physicality, which is totally uncontrived. So in resting as awareness, everything about the body becomes more vital. There's a great deal more energy and vitality for living life. And the mind is completely pervaded by blazing wisdom, just total wisdom that isn't involved in that hamster wheel of thinking things over and, oh, is this the right decision? Have you ever done that? Oh, gosh, I've got to make a decision. Oh, I've got to make the decision by next month. And between now and then, I'm going to be thinking about that all day, every day. And if I try not to think about it, I'm going to be thinking about it anyway. Finally, the decision is made, even if it's the decision not to decide. That's still a decision. And then after the decision is made, did I make the right decision? And so you see, this is one way of... this is just one way of being. But beyond the highest level of what most of us learn is, it's just like Christopher Columbus setting out and saying, well, the conventional belief may be that high performance of the body and mind is X, but I believe something else. So Christopher Columbus believed something else, even though all conventional knowledge said something else, that the world was flat. He said, no, the world is round. I know it. And I know it to such a degree that I'm willing to risk everything I have, all my money, all Queen Isabella's money, and but my own life and the life of all these people on the ship, and out he went. And so, you know, when we're not taking that risk when we rest as awareness, because we have many other people throughout human history, as well as people living now, who are resting as awareness, who have this complete clarity and ease of mind at all times. It is so potent, and it's so profound, not only on an individual level, but for groups of individuals who are gathered together. For example, in our organization, the Great Freedom Organization, which is a worldwide organization, everyone loves being part of Great Freedom. And the people who are involved with getting the work done just love it. And there isn't a single person who is involved who doesn't say, this is the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me.